4 o'clock, so we have a quorum also, so I think we'll get started here with our meeting. Roll call.
McGill.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Brecky absent.
Okay, also board in front of you, you have the agenda for this afternoon's meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda will stand as presented. Also in front of you, you have the minutes of our meeting of September 18th. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to it? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Also in front of you, you have the findings of fact from the CUP 519, the Story County Wind Proposal, the CUP 919, Story County Animal Control, and the variance of 419 of the Friends. Do I hear any additions or changes to these findings of fact? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the findings of fact.
Motion to entertain the findings of, or to accept the findings of fact is written.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. All right. Just to run down here how our meeting works. If you have any, if you attend the meeting or whatever, if you'd signed in when you came in, that way we've got a record of who is here. If you want to make comments on anything in front of us, when you go to the podium, please state your name and your address. The way we're going to run this is we'll first ask for any comments. I know there aren't very many out here from any other topic in front of us except what's being presented this afternoon. If not, then we'll move into our CUP request, review that, have the board present their findings, any comeback out of anyone representing them, the request, and then if there's any rebuttal involved, so be it. If not, then we'll close, we'll deliberate, and we'll give you a decision. So having that, I'll ask, are there any comments on anything prior to going into our CUP discussion? If not, then we'll move on. In front of us, we've got a discussion on CUP 319. Mr. Perkins for a minor modification of CUP 319, requesting an addition on the dwelling, bed and breakfast. Welcome back, Mr. Perkins, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Jerry.
Yep, this is actually CUP 03-19.1. It's amending, it's a minor modification to CUP 03-19. So applicant Brad Perkins, 1641 T Avenue, Madrid. Property is located at 5500 240th Street in Ames. It's in Washington Township, Section 18. Property owner, Wanda Chafin McKay Trust. Some of the districts, service districts in this location are Xenia World Water, Alliant Energy, the West Story Kelly Fire Department, Mary Greeley Medical Center, and the Story County Sheriff's Department. Nature of request, again, CUP 03-19.1. It's a request to add an addition to the existing dwelling or bed and breakfast building to provide for an accessible entry so that they can make the master bedroom, the existing master bedroom, accessible. Provide for an enclosed area for the current outdoor patio area to be used for general space, for bed and breakfast and scheduled events guests, and to create a new ADA accessible bathroom and dining space. We'll also include the ADA parking spot and the accessible route to the addition. A previous request was for an addition to the dwelling. That was before the Board of Adjustment in April. and that was a request to do an addition for a ADA accessible bedroom. It also included the ADA parking space and route to the addition. The applicant has decided not to pursue that project. A little bit of history. The Board of Adjustment has received and reviewed and acted on conditional use permit request, various ones for this property. I just wanted to kind of highlight what they were to refresh your memory. The first one was CUP 01-17, Youth and Shelter Services, submitted it for a youth addictions treatment facility. That one was approved with conditions March 15, 2017. CUP 19-17 was for the bed and breakfast, which also had a separate events venue facility. It was approved with conditions on February 21, 2018. CUP 08-17 was for the commercial campground and travel trailer park. That was approved by the Board of Adjustment March 21st, 2018. And the most recent one, as I mentioned, was CUP 03-19. That was to create an accessible bedroom. It would be a separate bedroom. That was approved May 15 of 2019. Vicinity map, just to show you where we're at, we're in Washington Township. We're on the south side of Highway 30, south side of Ames, right in this location. A little closer, where the yellow star is, that's the 74-acre parcel. It's zoned A1 district, agricultural district. The surrounding land to the north, west, and south is also zoned A1 agricultural district. The land, however, to the east is zoned agricultural residential, and there are a few single-family homes on large lots. The property is about three-quarters of a mile west of South Dakota Avenue. This is from the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. It's within the Ames Urban Fringe area, the 2 mile area. The property is designated urban residential, and for the most part, the planned use in an urban residential area is housing, which has an average net density of 3.75 units per acre. And there's provisions to allow for a greater density than that. The green area represents natural areas, and in the policies in the plan, natural areas are discouraged from development. This project will not impact the existing natural area. Aerial photo shows you the property. Again, it's 74 acres. There is a long drive that extends to the house and accessory structure. It's about 1,200 feet from 240th. There's a small little pond to the north of the creek, Worley Creek. The dwelling is in this location, bed and breakfast. There's an accessory structure to the south and west. The creek extends. It meanders through the southwest, through the central, northeast portions of the property. There's a lot of trees along the creek line. I think the current property owner has planted quite a few trees, plus there's a lot of trees that have grown naturally over time. Heavily vegetated in the southwestern and southeast parts of that property. This map shows you single-family dwellings. There's six single-family dwellings within a quarter mile. Five dwellings share a common property line with this property. There is quite a bit of agricultural land also that you can see to the north, to the west, and to the south, in addition to those single-family dwellings. This is the floodplain, the FEMA flood map. The blue represents the limits of the floodplain. Dwelling is in this location, so the proposed improvement would be on the south side of that dwelling, and it would not impact the floodplain. Closer view, this shows you parking, existing parking space on the east side of the dwelling. There's approximately 7 to 8 paved parking spaces. The drive coming from 240th to the dwelling and bed and breakfast is hard surface. Project details, it's approximately 1,770 square foot impervious surface. It includes the addition, which is around 1,200 square feet, concrete walkway, accessible walkway, 300 square feet, parking area around 270. The impervious surface does not include what would be proposed to extend the existing driveway for future parking. The county's ordinance does have a requirement that 20% needs to be provided for landscape area. And there was some additional initial information provided. We've had some discussions about that. The area will be larger than what was anticipated with the proposed impervious surface of around 1,800 square feet. We're looking at about a 350 square foot green space landscape area. But again, this property is heavily treed, heavily wooded to the southwest, to the southeast. But they would be proposing to install that additional landscaping to the southwest of this addition. This is from the applicant. Again, it shows you the existing dwelling, bed and breakfast. What would be proposed would be in this area to the south side of the dwelling. Again, this shows you ADA parking space. This is another drawing that was provided by the applicant. It shows you the outline of that patio space with the wall and the columns. Those will be likely removed with this project. We added the red line just to kind of show you the existing wall area. And then, you know, the space that would be included. There's like this would be ADA accessible entry, vestibule, potentially a place to hang coats and similar items, ADA restroom to be added, dining space. This would be that general space that could be used for guests for bed and breakfast use or the scheduled events, which are also permitted under the county's ordinance. And then they're showing like a mechanical space in this area. Just the addition, the applicant provided the actual construction drawings of the dwelling, bed and breakfast, and then just a hard line just to kind of show you that area. The applicant just recently provided the elevation drawing. This is the south elevation, so when you're in the backyard looking to the north, this is what you'll see with the French doors somewhat in the center of the project, another service door off to the west. And I think that might be like where the bedroom, or that might be a spare service entrance. I'll let Perkins talk about that. And then on the top is the west elevation. That's what you would see. And then to the right-hand side would be the east elevation. Parking, just a little bit about the standards. Bed and breakfast use. The information's in 88.5 or dash 5 in the standards, the tables under the general site planning standards. Bed and breakfast uses are permitted 2 parking spaces. The county standards deal with maximum numbers. It's not a minimum requirement. So the idea is to conserve buildable area, limit the impact of improvements. So it would be 2 spaces plus 1 bedroom. One space per bedroom, and if there's between three and four, you're looking at 5 to 6 spaces. This application has nothing to do with the event venue. Again, that was a separate CUP. Just wanted to provide this information with you. Again, the ordinance doesn't specifically address event venues. We used the auditorium general assembly standard, and that would produce a maximum of about 75 parking spaces that would be permitted. And again, we went through this with the CUP application when that was actually submitted. This is site photos. We took these photos on Friday of last week. This is looking west at the front entrance. Looking south, again, the drive is paved. This is the pond that's off to the east side of the drive, and this is located just north of the dwelling. The creek, Whirly Creek, that extends through the property. This is the front of the house and bed and breakfast. This is the backyard area. You're looking at the south wall, and this would be the improvement area.
So basically, the roof line would run from where that peak is. You're enclosing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this would be the patio area. A little closer view, looking straight on.
Oh. Okay.
I think the applicant has more pictures, too, that he would like to show you. But currently, there's these pavers, hardscape material, and then there's this really nice brick wall, about 3.5-4 feet in elevation, enclosing that outdoor patio space. And there's actually two doors, one on either side of the windows. On the other side of that is the dining space. And then the master bedroom is off to the left of your screen. There's a service door right there. This is the accessory structure on the property. It's located to the southwest of the dwelling and bed and breakfast. Little garden shed is just east of that accessory building. This is looking to the south. I'm on more on the east side, southeast of the dwelling. When I was out there on Friday, I think they were getting ready for an event, a scheduled event. They had a tent set up for that. The woods toward the east side of the property. This is like a tall grass prairie area to the northeast and north of the dwelling. This is at the entrance looking, we're looking west. To the west. Sorry about that. Looking north and looking east. Standards of approval. The Board of Adjustment is to consider these standards of approval with an application submittal. First one deals with compatibility. It's a 74-acre parcel. Again, it's about 1,200 feet. The dwelling is about 1,200 feet from 240th. The bed and breakfast use will occupy the existing dwelling. The addition will be on the south side of that dwelling that we talked about. It's in an A1 district, AR to the east. A1 permits ag, single family dwellings, cemeteries, stables, parks, forest reserves. Surrounding property land use, though, is primarily single family dwellings, agricultural, row crop, and natural areas. The closest dwelling to the dwelling that's on the subject property is about 780 feet to the north. As I mentioned, it's in the urban residential designation for the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which primarily supports residential development. The City of Ames just went through an amendment process with their bed and breakfast ordinance. It is permitted in their residential districts. It would likely be viewed as a non-conforming use because they require a special use permit similar to a conditional use permit. I think they permit up to 5 bedrooms, and then each bedroom, there's a parking standard for that.
And this is not compliant?
Well, because it would not have gone through like a CUP process. It could go through that process. And usually when properties get annexed, every city's standards are a little different, but a lot of times they'll take it under the most restrictive district, like an A1 district, and then rezone it from there based on whatever the comprehensive plan is for the area that's being proposed for annexation. So transition, again, the property owner planted a lot of trees. There's a lot of existing trees and woods. This will help to provide a buffer. All proposed development is on the south side of Whirly Creek. It's about a quarter mile away from 240th. We did talk about the 20% landscaping requirement. Parking, the Iowa DOT, the current figures are from 2015, and it's a 60 vehicle average daily count. Based on information that we've received from the applicant, he's not anticipating any changes from what was submitted in April. And so at 50% of capacity of the bed and breakfast, at 7 to 8 trips a day, it would be about a 13% increase. Parking, we went through that. Those numbers, again, they would be permitted about 5 or 6 spaces for bed and breakfast, and then more, of course, for scheduled events. They do have an existing sign. No permit was required because it was under the threshold of 6 square feet and did not exceed 4 feet in height. Nothing has been submitted for lighting. If they do propose lighting, it would have to meet the county's lighting standards. Environmental protection, the improvement will not impact the floodplain. Again, we've talked about the impervious landscape requirement a few times. They will be required to meet the county's current amended stormwater and erosion control ordinance. It would impact erosion control less than an acre, so there would have to be some erosion control materials provided. Usually that is something that's provided on a drawing that would be submitted with the zoning permit. And then impact to grading acre or greater, there would be a requirement to meet the current standards for stormwater. Previously, the property owner indicated that on occasion the creek has left its banks, and there has, you know, over a short period of time, there has been water over the drive. So that's something that we noted in every staff report, and that's something that needs to be monitored, primarily in the spring. And then the other items that you are to consider, if the board concludes that all above development criteria will be met and must recommend approval of the application, unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining surrounding property. Again, the impact on this to the site, to the adjacent properties, particularly with the addition, would be very minimal. The applicant did indicate that they primarily rent out the 3 bedrooms. Each one of those bedrooms have bathrooms. They would have a 4th one for families that could maybe share or would want to share one of those bathrooms and one of those bedrooms. Impact to light and air should be minimal. We talked about impact to the roads should be minimal with this proposed addition. And if the event venue building is built, again, I think they are in a standby situation with regard to the appeal. The county is appealing. We're actually appealing all 3 current and conditional use permit that have been challenged. But if the event building is built, we have noted each time that there will be an increase to the existing traffic levels. Could be upwards to 250%. But they also indicated that they anticipate working with somebody to assist, like for wedding receptions, to transport people to and from, which would help reduce the number of vehicles on that road. They also communicated with the Kelly Fire Department with regard to installing a hydrant and standpipe at the pond so that in the event of a fire, they could use that pond water to, you know, to apply it to a fire if they needed to. That's something that they've had discussions with the fire chief about, and they do support the condition that we have for this request. Impact on property values of the surrounding area. What was noted was that the proposed improvements would be reviewed for the 2020 assessment. However, we're not in thinking that there will be a negative impact on adjacent properties as it was submitted. And then, impact to the development regulations. We've kind of gone through that again several times. Dwellings are principal permitted uses, and this is an extension of the single family dwelling that is there. And it's permitted if a conditional use permit is granted by the Board of Adjustment. Burden persuasion as to whether or not the development, if completed as proposed, will comply with the requirements of this chapter is at all times on the applicant. Burden of presenting evidence to the Board of Adjustment sufficient enough for it to conclude that the applicant does not comply with the requirements of this chapter is upon the person or persons recommending such a conclusion, unless the information presented by the applicant warrants such a conclusion. We did route this to the other departments in the county for review and comment. I just highlighted some things that our department had questions about that the applicant did provide responses to. Just to get clear on what that space would be used for, we provided that information in this report. Information about where the doors and the window treatments would be on the proposed addition, how many bedrooms would be proposed with this application, elevation drawing which was provided. Just make sure that we were square on what the county's requirements were for parking. Communicated information about the erosion control and stormwater drainage ordinance that was recently amended. We talked about the green space that's required based on the impervious surfaces that would be added. We talked about traffic or had questions about traffic. And then if this is approved by the Board of Adjustment, that the detailed site development drawing, zoning permit would be required to be submitted. We would route that again for review by county staff departments, and then it would require action by the Board of Supervisors. And these are just the responses from the applicant. I'd be happy to go through those if you have questions. Environmental Health reviewed it and indicated that the proposed improvement would not have an impact on the existing laterals. However, they did suggest that they monitor the water use with regard to that existing system. And I think that's a similar comment that was made with the previous submittal. We did forward to City of Ames and Gilbert and just received a comment from Gilbert that they have no comments. We sent notices to property owners within a quarter mile required by the ordinance on the 9th of October. And I don't think that we've received any specific comments back from neighbors. We did, however, receive emails. They're in front of the chair, and they're all in support. Some of the folks indicated that they've used the facility and they support the applicants with this specific request. Points to consider, again, the land development regulations are intended and designed to meet the objectives of 335.5 of the Code of Iowa with regard to preserving ag land, protecting soil, wind, and water, encouraging efficient urban development patterns. Also with regard to conditional use permits, to encourage the compatibility of proposed development with the environment and with existing and future land uses in the area. Additional points to consider. Again, talked about it several times. This is pretty much secluded. It's a 74-acre parcel. The dwelling and the improvement would be south centrally located and well buffered. The closest dwelling is 780 feet away. We talked about traffic levels. There should not be a significant impact with what's being proposed with the addition. We did mention again, if the event venue is built, there likely will be some impact with the number of cars that could be generated with that use. And then we talked a little bit about the activity in the building would likely be less disruptive than activities that would be outside that could include music and different sound. levels. So with that, planning staff is recommending approval. Again, this is CUP 03-19.1. And it's based on the submittal, it's based on site review, it's based on responses from the applicant, and we are recommending approval with these conditions. The first one is that 03-19, the permit and the conditions would be null and void if it's approved by the Board of Adjustment. All parking areas shall be clearly marked in order to meet the land development regulation requirements in 88.08. And then no scheduled events shall occur on the property having parking demands in excess of the existing parking spaces until off-street parking and circulation driveway is constructed. The applicant has indicated that if this is approved, he will commence with that part of it. Three, the applicant shall provide dust control. This is a condition that we've had in other conditional use permits. If the volume of traffic exceeds 150 vehicles, this is something that was supported by the county's engineer. Four, a site development plan meeting the requirements of the land development regulations should be provided for review, and it should include the green space requirement of 20%. This is something that would need to be reviewed and acted on by the Board of Supervisors. And five, the applicant shall install that dry hydrant and pipe at the pond to help in case in the event of a fire. And then that should be installed at the same time this addition is constructed. And then the boundary of the floodplain should be identified on the site plan that gets submitted with the zoning permit that would be acted on by the Board of Supervisors. And with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Board, any questions for staff? Perkins, anything you wish to add?
Oh, I'll get there. Yeah.
Jerry. All right, as you know, my name is Brad Perkins. My wife and I operate Raspberry Hill Bed and Breakfast. Here's a picture of the existing property, but you've already seen that. You can go to the next. Here's a picture of the backyard. Right here is the patio that we were thinking of in closing. The previously approved, if you would keep going, this is the site plan that was approved as part of CUP 03-19. It was an addition coming out to the south, and then a bedroom, an ADA accessible bedroom right here. As my wife and I, we were planning out this addition, and we were talking about some of the things that needed to be done on the house itself. Several things came up. One of them is, next, can we go to the next picture, please? When we were looking at this, area here, we realized the greenery that grows on the brick looks really awesome, and it is really hard on the wood windows. And most of those wood windows need replaced. The doors definitely need some attention. And this patio, there's a couple spots where it's sinking, and the stones are really, really thin. They look huge, but they're actually quite thin, and they are very uneven. The doors heading out here have a fairly high threshold, and while that probably doesn't sound like a huge deal, what we are running into is that accessibility for anyone with limited mobility is really restricted coming out of that way. The whole reason for the addition out over here was to have an ADA accessible room. Most of the interior doors in this house that go to the bedrooms, they are a 30-inch door, which leaves by the time you have the door in the way and you have the door jammed and trimmed, that only leaves about 26 inches to get through, which is well shy of ADA accessibility. And to remove those doors in some areas just isn't possible because of where interior walls are. I'll show you that here in a second. So our thought was we were going to build this out here, but then if you turn to the next picture, please. Here, keep going. I want to get to, all right. This is the existing patio right here. This is already hardscaped, and we use it quite frequently for small weddings, you know, parties, get-togethers, whatever. But we just had a family email us and ask, Grandma and Grandpa are in wheelchairs. Is this patio accessible? And I had to say no. I had to say no, and you'll see why here in a second. If you could turn to the next picture. All right. When we look out this door and this door, the drop-off in between the finished floor elevation of the great room and this patio is too great for a wheelchair. It makes it very difficult. However, these doors are 36 inches, and so is this one right here. It goes to the master bedroom. This door is 36 inches, and this door is 6 feet, meaning that if I remove this one, this door here, the access to the entire master suite would be handicapped accessible. Now, we'd have to make a little modification to the toilet here isn't, but that's easily revised. So what we were thinking is, you know, we need to replace all these windows or and doors anyway, or at least give them some attention. We need to change the flooring or the floor surface of this patio anyway. We're like, by the time we spend all that money, we're like, we're almost going to have a new wall here. And we're like, why don't we just enclose this? And then we can make this master bedroom, our best room, also handicapped accessible. If you could go to the next slide, please. All right. This is, once again, this is taking that, this is on the county assessor's website. This is the patio. And so what we decided is that patio wall, we wouldn't go any further than that existing patio wall. It's already hardscaped. It's already what we're using today. So we would just go that far. These two extensions come out because it gives us a place to mount trusses. Something's going to enclose that. It's got to go, and I think you'll see that a little bit better when we look at the elevation. If you could turn the next slide, please. Right. So this is the addition that I just put in red here. So now guests will be able to come in. The front door is a 4 foot wide door. So it's completely, with enclosing this, we'd be completely accessible all the way through here through the first floor, at least to the one bedroom. All right, next slide, please. All right, and then this is just my sketch of this. Next slide, please. All right, so here's, you'll also notice this addition would have stuck out into this green space quite a bit and would have really altered the look of the structure greatly. I mean, we would do it to have the handicap accessible bedroom, but this to me is a less intrusive fix that lets us increase handicap accessibility. Next slide, please. There we go. All right, so instead of going out over here, it'll be enclosed from here to here. And see this ridge and this ridge. What we would do is we'd span this distance with some roof, with some trusses, and then extend these out so we could just keep that same roof line all the way to the edge of this brick. All right, next slide, please. Here is the exit from the great room to the patio, and you can see the problem. You can't see on an overhead view, but up close, you see that this is really settling. And if you'll notice this distance, this is a solid, probably 5-inch drop-off, which makes it untenable for anyone with limited mobility, and especially if you're in a wheelchair. And I know I'm harping on the ADA accessibility a little bit, but one of our sons was in a wheelchair for a year. And while that doesn't look like a big deal, when you have someone, especially in a motorized wheelchair, that is a very large mountain to climb. If you're trying to lift up a 400-pound motorized wheelchair, that's a big distance. And our thought would be, next slide, please. Oh, this is the other side of that threshold. You can kind of see where the water is starting to deteriorate this wood. It's kind of a similar type of a thing on the on some of the windows as well. Next slide, please. Here. I'm afraid the battery's out. I'm going to switch to the other one. There we go. We'd be able to pour a floor in here level all the way from this door that's 3 foot wide to this door that's 3 foot wide to the other one that's 3 foot wide, and then where the bay window is on the dining room, we would make those French doors, so make it continuous, and then pour that level all the way across. All right, next slide, please. All right, so this shows you how many windows there are. As we started thinking about what it would cost to replace all of these, you can imagine that by the time we built the addition and replaced all of these, we were really thinking, well, let's just enclose this and make this a little bit simpler for ourselves. What it does is it gives a little bit for this space. It's not very, it's not huge. It's not the event center that we had already passed here almost 2 years ago. But it is a little bit bigger of a dining room. This is really meant to be as a conservatory with a lot of windows. What we want is we want to create a space inside that still feels like you're outside. It'll be quieter if we're having an event here and it's all enclosed. Music, noise won't travel as much if it's enclosed inside. But what it will do for us is it will really allow us to have events where the people that are there aren't worried so much about rain. As someone here can attest to, it starts looking like rain, especially these last few weeks. There's been some scrambling from families to move stuff that was planned for outside to go inside. So it really allows us to solve several problems. ADA accessibility has always been a concern of mine, and we're just frankly, we're not doing as well as we could, and this addition would allow us to do a whole lot better. It would allow us to take up less of a footprint of green space on site, and really it would allow our construction to be a lot more compact. It'd also save us from replacing all of this glass and use that to put in new glass on the existing wall. Next slide, please. All right, here's what the inside looks like looking out those windows. All right, next slide, please. All right, this is just more of the location, but Jerry's already showed you that. Next slide, please. Keep going, next slide. Keep going. There we go. This is where that previously approved addition would have been. And like I said, this really disrupts the green space much less. All right, and then next slide, I believe this is, and here it is, but Jerry already showed. This is where we're building. The floodplain is well back. At this time, if you had any questions, I'd love to entertain any questions that the board might have.
Really has nothing to do with this, just a request. You're using a lot of your outdoor space or what would be accessible for parties or events. Do you have any plans to expand back more of a brick patio back beyond where you
Yes, we do. We have some landscaping we have to do, mm-hmm. and while we're doing that, we'll probably add some features like that that make the outside a little more inviting and cheery. I fully plan on doing that. I think the space, could you go to some of the previous pictures? There we go. One more. There. I think when we build this space in between here, I think we're going to really make this inviting. We have some natural prairie grass here. When it's in bloom, it's really attractive already. And then if we took some of the brick, I want to salvage. We love this brick. I had some ideas of building on top of the brick. The only problem with that is, Doug tells me that footing is 2 feet, probably, maybe a little bit more than that, but I'm a little nervous about using that for a permanent part of the house. So I'd love to use that if it's possible to salvage any of that. We kind of like to maybe redo a little of that out here. Obviously, our long-term plans are to put that event center back here, and when we do that, we'll also do a lot more landscaping, but I'm told that we might be years away from finding out what happens with that. So until that point, we're going to do what we can, and that's probably going to be in between this little building and the house.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions I could entertain?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Any comments from the public?
Yeah, this is a public hearing.
Yes. Okay. If not, anything else to add from staff? If not, we'll close and deliberate. Staff, what do you want to do? I add one other thing. We all have to be in agreement since there's only three of us here this evening.
These are the conditions. I'd be happy to go through them again if you have questions about them. But that would lead to, if you support staff's recommendation, that would be number two. The Board of Adjustment approves conditional use permit for Raspberry Hill Bed and Breakfast with scheduled events and proposed addition to the dwelling and bed and breakfast as put forth in CUP 03-19.1 with conditions.
Jerry, on the traffic condition, we probably talked about this before, but I don't recall. How does that happen, the monitoring the cars and whatnot?
It's probably going to be communicated to us realistically from property owners, and then we'll get the county engineer's office involved. But with that condition, at any time, we can ask the applicant to have an engineer study the amount of traffic. And again, that was a part of our original condition that we included with the bed and breakfast when they first submitted it with that event venue.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept number two.
We have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
We have a motion out of Youngberg, a second out of Neubauer. Roll call vote, please.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Neubauer?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Okay, there you go, guys. Okay, looking at any staff comments, anything moving forward?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you we're going to have a couple of additional cases coming in November. We have a variance request. It's a property that has an existing accessory structure that was constructed like in 1962, and it obtained a variance. It's a area of the subdivision where there's been multiple properties that have requested and obtained variances. The goal was to try to preserve the natural woods that are in this area. So the current property owner is interested in removing that existing building and constructing a new one. So our position is that they would have to go through this process to request a new variance. We will include that information in that staff report that we prepare, but that will likely be before you in November. And then we also will have a conditional use permit. The county's roadside vegetation department is proposing to add on to an existing building at the, it's where the county has its shooting range. It's a multi-purpose property. There's an existing building there that they use for storage, and so they're interested in adding an addition, like a 40 by 40 addition, and so our ordinance requires that to go through a conditional use permit process. We have to notify adjacent landowners and so forth, so we'll have those two things before you. And then I think Stephanie provided you with some information on some future training. It's been a few weeks, but we offered to help set that up, and it was through, I'm trying to remember the name, it was through our insurance pool carrier, but there's a couple of locations that they're providing this training for Board of Adjustment or Planning and Zoning Commission members, and so we wanted to make sure that you're aware of that if you're interested. Stephanie, I think, can still help sign you up if that date. I don't think it's happened yet.
Okay. Randy was the only one that signed up.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look what the dates are. I've got a lot of dates bouncing around.
Your calendars are getting full.
Yes, very much so.
But that's all that I have.
Okay. Anything else this evening? Not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.